بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I was looking through the halat of Hazrat Ka'b Ahbar rahimahullah. His name was Ka'b ibn Matiq. Coming from a Jewish background, family from Yemen, Himyar, that the family is coming from. So there were some Jews that were originally Israelites, and there were those that became Jews. They may have not been Israelites, but they became Jews. So he's coming from an Arab family, Himyar tribe, born in Yemen, and they moved on to Judaism. He was lucky to live for about 104 years. Someone asked him, "You saw the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you saw the period of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, but then your conversion to Islam was only in the day of Umar radhiyallahu anhu. What was the reason for that?" So he says, "You see, my father had taken a promise with me. So he had got certain chapters of the Torah written, and he asked me to just confine myself to those chapters, nothing more. تَجْعَلُونَهُ قَرَاتِيسَ تُبْدُونَهَا وَتُخْفُونَ كَثِيرًا." So first they rejected, Jews had rejected that Allah that had ever sent anything to any Nabi. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيٍ مِّنْ شَيْءٍ مَنْ أَنزَلَ الْكِتَابَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ تُخْفُونَهَا وَتُبْدُونَ كَثِيرًا. So they concealed certain portions of the Torah, and some portions they revealed, they made known. So what they said, Allah didn't send any wahi, any revelation. So you reach a point where you want to say, "I'm absolutely clear with Allah Ta'ala." And the other is the person wants to play a little bit of a balancing act, be good with him, be right to the person, don't have any fight with anybody. So these are two different mentalities. So here Allah Ta'ala wants a clear, absolutely clear, unpolluted, uncontaminated relationship. So his father told him, "See, because of my rights upon you, then you will confine yourself to just this chapter that I have preserved, and you will not look into any other chapters of the Torah, and the rest of it is sealed here. So you're not going to look into this, and you're just going to be confined onto this thing here. Take a qasam, take an oath that you will just confine yourself to this." The father, him being a youngster, out of respect and consideration, he took the oath. Now time unravels everything. All mysteries of the past are unraveling, are opening out. And he says, "Now I began to see the flow of Islam moving, one country to the next, to the third. And people are coming in crowds into Islam. So when I saw this, then it got to my mind. Now I'm thinking to myself, Torah is the word of Allah Ta'ala. It must contain something about Rasulullah Pakistan person. But now the chapter that I have got doesn't mention anything about it. So let me break the seal and let me see what it contains." So he took a lot of courage, because I took an oath to my father and I'm going to break the seal. Now I'm breaking the seal. But I'm breaking the seal for the right reasons. See, I can't subject Allah Ta'ala to any person. I can subject people to Allah Ta'ala. This is Allah's command, that I must do the right thing. And now I'm subject Allah Ta'ala to my father's thinking and reasoning. No, that's not the right thing. I'm subject his thought to Allah Ta'ala. Not the other way around. I need to do my father's namaz, right? So I can't subject it to the father's mashwara. I can't subject my father's namaz to the boss's instruction. Yes, I can subject the boss to Allah Ta'ala's command. But subject Allah Ta'ala to someone else's command, that I can't do that. That's not right. So when may yuridi Allahu bi khayran, when Allah Ta'ala wants some good from a person, he grants him the right understanding. Now we see this hadith and we think to ourselves that it only refers to the books on fiqh, Nur al-Iza, etc., all the great esteem and respect that we hold. But it's not just restricted to this. It is about the right understanding, that we understand things right and apply ourselves right. Whether it is pertaining to iman, whether it's pertaining to the zahiri fiqh, whether it's referring to, whether it's connecting to the batini fiqh. One is the fiqh that refers to the zahir, namaz, roza, zakat, things that you see and you perceive, right? And one is the things that pertain to the batini fiqh, things that pertain to the mind, like pride, ostentation, show, shukr, gratitude, patience. So this is all batin. This is also an obligation from Allah Ta'ala. This is also an obligation from Allah Ta'ala. Both must be seen in perspective. You don't subject Allah Ta'ala to anybody. Yes, I can subject people to Allah Ta'ala, not the other way around. So, when a person becomes too overawed with people, then you want to subject the law of Allah Ta'ala for people. Is that right? So, Ka'b Ahbar, Rahmatullah, he says, no, I must break the seal and check. So, Rasulullah SAW, I'll explain the class. Sometimes, the ego gets the better of the person, and he takes an oath or he makes a promise, you know, it's going to happen like this. You're not going to do anything against this. Then, even if it is that he sees something better, then he's not prepared to go with it. Because he's, no, no, me, whatever I said, I have to stand by it. He's watching and observing that this is even better than that. But now, if he's going to leave out this, for that, then it's a question about his ego. Right. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had instructed his son, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, that you see there are some guests and you need to entertain them and see to them. I'll just interject, right? See, this tasawuf requires a lot of clarity of mind. Extreme clarity. If anybody wants to benefit, his mind must be absolutely clear with the one that is instructing him. And to the extent he will have the clarity, will be the benefit. But if his mind is not clear, then it will seem he's going, but he's not moving. One friend of mine is here. Now, look at the clarity, the level of clarity that is required. So he had ta'alluq with Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi. And Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi, something had happened. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi told him that ye to badi himmat ki baat hai. This is a thing of great resolve, determination, great courage. And he said, mere kuch nahi hai kya? Nahi. Jo Sheikh kahega, bas wahi hoga. What the Sheikh says, just keep to that. Then don't you push in your tawazun. Although it would mean, I make kushmu, I nachis hu, I mandarin hu, orange hu, leave all that story. Hazrat Ji said that must just keep to that. So when he spoke about, I understood what Hazrat Ji was saying. See, your mind has to be absolutely clear. You want to take the maximum benefit. But he's saying that your heart mustn't have any reservation, any hesitation. In the words of Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, Bashar teke, دل میں کسی قسم کا خرخشانہ ہو. شیخ کی صحبت اکثیر ہے, that's approximate words, اکثیر ہے بشرتے کے دل میں کسی قسم کا خرخشانہ ہو. The words extremely effective, provided there's no reservation in the heart, no hesitation. Why he said this? Who? Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? And you get stuck into that, and you will leave off the teaching. So dil mein kisi kisam ka kharkasha na ho, no reservation, is going straight, moving. There is progress. And the Shaykh also feels his people are taking, and they're taking one shot. He's careful of what he's saying. He understands. Right? So you see, Sahib Hidayah, he's quoting a masla, and then Allama Zaidi will show the hadith, or he will show the hadith. Sometimes the hadith he may show, maybe not of a standard, right? But that doesn't mean that the masla is wrong. Masla is right. But the supporting dalil may not be so great. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have a proof. He has a proof, but whatever was available at that time, he just pushed that hadith. Now you think, you know, this masla can't be right because the supporting evidence is not so strong. It's very strong, but what was available at that time, he wrote that. But there are stories of hadith that he hasn't applied. Maybe it didn't appear to him at that time, or maybe he didn't realize that there was a hadith. But there is tons of hadith supporting the masala. Now you need to have that level of confidence and conviction for you to move on. Said, oh, you're all weak hadiths, etc. You left the person. 20 years later, when you saw hadith, you saw, then you say, hey, Ben, I deprive myself of so backwards. Because I didn't realize the extent of his understanding. Now after 20 years I understand what was the extent of his understanding. Now I realize the good of his kitab. So, Kaab Ahbar now, see his understanding, his reasoning. Therefore, Muawiyah then should say that, you see, if you want dini understanding, then amongst the five people that you can refer to, one is this person, Kaab Ahbar. So he must have been a very profound person, very great person, for this type of a referral. The Amir is seeing all his subjects, right? But under the circumstance, who is the better person as a guide? From the 6-7 person that he pointed out, one is Kaab Ahbar. So he says, then when I checked up, so I saw يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. When I turned the pages of Torah, I saw as though Rasulullah says, inside the Torah, he's so clear. He's absolutely clear. You don't need any further elucidation. He's so clear. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. They know him like more than they know their own children. They know him so well. One alim was here. So his pet subject is the Ashratu Sa'ah, signs of Qiyamah. I said, see, signs of Qiyamah come in hadith, we believe in them. We, for a moment, we don't consider any hadith to be insignificant. Look at them with a lot of significance. But just to jam your mind only on to the signs of Qiyamah and not move forward, sometimes it's the ploy of your nafs. The next two MC. Look at the Bani Israel, right? يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُ. From the description that was contained in the Torah and the Injil, they knew him very well. They knew exactly this is going to be. More than the Muslims would have known him, they knew him. Right? But then, they knew all the ashrat, all the signs were there. But فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. When that Nabi that was foretold, that was contained in the books that they were talking so high about, when he came and he appeared, the Farubi, they rejected him. So I ask you from the Sa'a, from the Ashrat, was there anything that was concealed from them? They knew it exactly. تَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. But then, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. When that really surfaced, then they rejected. But you see now. Then I began to think to myself, explaining that Alim, but now, I wonder what prompted them to go towards disbelief and just to get into the Ashrat and not go further. So the answer that came to my mind is, you see, when you look at the Ashrat only Ashrat, and you become too overwhelmed just with the Ashrat, what happens? You don't realize that sometimes it's a subtle play of the nafs of shaitan. Because all your energy is just on the signs of Qiyamah, you are not expending your energies in finding out what to do then. Alright, I'm there in the fitna, I'm in the mess now, I'm in the soup. What must I do to come out? I don't know what to do. Yes, you're telling me this, repeatedly you're telling me. But in that state, what am I supposed to be doing? You give me any guidance. I'm showing the person, these are all the signs of a tire puncture. They saw all the signs, they saw. But I didn't teach you what to do in the event of a puncture. Traveling to Cape Town, came to pee, half the road, half the distance has been covered, but a puncture. See, the mullah told me, these are all the signs of the puncture. That's part of the study, half part of the study. But what must I do in the event of a puncture? What must I do? He didn't tell me. So I'm stuck there, sitting there for 3 days, no food, nothing. So Rasulullah showed that his work was complete. Now just to take these people on one line and not to show them the other part of that is really, it's a disservice. It's not right. Not right, not fair to Rasulullah. You showed the Sa'ad, a Sa'ad that needs to be shown. But what's to be done? So Rasulullah is giving a whole account. What is to be done? One of those things is, wal yasa'aka baytuk. Let your house be enough for you. I'll give my own translation. Now, I'm explaining that, Alim. Look at this hadith. Look at it from this perspective. You got five people living in one home, right? Five people have got smartphones. Five people are smart as well. They're smart and they got smartphones. All of them, right? He's on his own buzz. He's on his own program. He's on it. I ask you, are they all on the same page? Are they on the same page? Can you see, they all got their own phones. They're smart. They aren't on the same page. They're under the same roof, but not on the same page. Right. He is into gayism, he is into Satanism, he is into LGism, he is into atheism, he is into Satanism. Right. So they're all into different isms. So they're not on the same page. Now look at a different situation. Right. Again, the same hadith from the Sa'akabit. Five people, different places, they're not living under the same roof. But they share the same thoughts. Thinking is the same, behavior is the same, ways are the same. The thought, the fikr is the same. The whole concern is iman. The whole concern is, how can I show more kindness than my brother? How can I endure more than him? How can I forgive more than him? He is doing something, but I must be a couple of steps ahead of him. He's shown one act of kindness, let me do 10. He's endured one person, I'll endure 20 people. He's covered one person's fault, I'll cover 20 people's fault. So, one is trying to be better than the other. They're all on the same page, direction is the same, same page. In fact, on the same line. Not only the page, the line is the same. Now, can you see? You see these people that are five different, but they're situated differently. I ask you, are they metaphorically sharing the same page? Are they sharing the same house? Same house, the thought is the same. Now you see this. Well, yasa'aka baytuk. Your house must be sufficient for you. And if you just want to go literally on this thing here, right, then he's on a different wavelength. You're on a different wavelength. Your thinking is different. His thinking is different. Are there going to be conflicts there? Are there going to be problems there or not? Are there going to be fights there? Right. So you will need to see that who belongs to your house. Hamare ghar ke aadmi kon hai? Who belongs to the house? Nuh alayhi salam said, inna wa'adaka al-haq, inna bani min ahli. He is from my house, right? Inna bani min ahli. My own person, my own house he belongs to. Wa inna wa'adaka al-haq. So Allah Pak says, laysa min ahli. He is not from your household. See that house, see that him house. He is not. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. He is off the course. He is pleading. What is pleading? Inna ibni min ahli. Wa inna wa'adaka al-haq. Wa anta ahkamul hakim. Allah Pak saying, laysa min ahli. Why isn't he from your household? Amalun ghayru salih. His works off. He is right off. Whether it's right of his, not of your household. So you see what brings that person onto the same roof, same under the same roof. So no matter who it is, how influential he is, how thick he was with you, but he is not sharing the same thought. How dangerous. Sometimes a single mulaqat can just turn the person around. We'll come back to the story. Tanwi Sabrahman says got a murid, extremely wealthy, a very high position, and the worker is earning a pittance. But this worker's wife used to come to that other house, the boss's wife's house. So now, one day, this worker's wife is pleading to the boss's wife, "I come so much to your house, why don't you come to my house?" The woman had it, and she went. The day she went, her whole attitude changed. Not talking right, not doing the khidmat, not having the same type of a face. Everything just changed. You know. Now the boss is asking his wife, "But you know, you had a different attitude. And now suddenly you just, your whole attitude has just capsized." So yeah, that one's wife, that worker, his wife, they are working for you. And see what dresses she's got. See the sets that she's got. See the appliances she's got. See the jewelry she got. What I got, mere to koi kapda nahi tha, main to nangi phir rahi hu. I got absolutely nothing. What she's got, in spite of them being workers, see what you have given me. So right, he comments, "Kis qadar qawiyu tawajjuh thi ke ek hi majlis mein uske dimag ko pher diya." What a tawajjuh she must have had. One sitting was enough to turn the person around. But you see that? One sitting was enough to turn the person around. Now we think that sitting, talking, listening, association, it doesn't affect the person. That's what we think. But that's against logic, against reasoning, and against experience. One friend told me that he was not feeling well or something, or the house was not feeling well, whoever. So the friends came to see him. So the friends will come now, so his wife will know their wives, etc. So they all came. Now, the woman came, the woman is meeting the woman. Now see, there's one mulaqat. Now this woman is a graduated woman. She's a professional doctor, whatever it is. She left her practice for the husband, she left it. Now, those guests came, they visited, etc., they went away. So now, the wife's attitude just changed. Now this is recent. Wife's attitude just changed. What happened? Not talking, somehow persuaded her. She said, "You know, I'm in such a problem I am. Those women came to visit. They said, you know, it's a Saturday and you still have to do cooking. It's a Saturday and you're still cooking. What a musibat this is. Don't you know from a Friday night that whole that kitchen must be closed. It must only open up next Monday. What a kabira guna this is." Now that got to her. In one mulaqat, that whole attitude, that whole sabo mizaj just changes. People on the same page. People on the same page. Kabutar, ba kabutar, baz, ba baz. There must be a reason why Rasulullah had to say, "Al mar'u ma'aman ahabba." You choose who you want. Then you'll be grouped amongst them. You like this group here, then you'll be counted. You like this group here, then. See, be frank with Allah, be clear, open. Open cards. I'm here invested my whole self on talent. Look at the same article, and he's writing, very. He says that when you reach that fana, that level of the highest ikhlas, "Ma umiru illa liya'budullaha mukhlisina lahu ad-din hunafa." So when you reach that, then the good that you see in your elder must be such, it's so overwhelming that you can't see the good in anybody else. Not that you run anybody down, or you make it tahqeer and tanqeez, but as though he is the mountain, he is the person. I can't see the next person. I'm so stuck, so overwhelmed, so consumed with him. I can only see the good in him. I can't, my eyes are closed to anybody else. Now then you escalate to the level of fana.
that higher level of ikhlas, the higher level of muhabbat. Otherwise you're stuck at one level, you're not progressing. Because then you're going to draw comparison, but it's maybe kuch khair, what about him, he's also. So you're going to be doing your own calculation, and it's going to take you a zamana before you reach. This was a shortcut to circumvent, you just see the good name and moving. One person and you're moving. Otherwise you're going for Hajj, and you've got 20 kitabs. So say tawaf must start at this point. He said, must do this. Now after you read the 20 kitab, you try to work it out, reconcile now. Which one must prefer, which one is more authentic? You're going to take a zamana before you start the tawaf. One is now you check, alright, from the people that are available, I see this person, akrab ilal haq, I moved on with him. So very quickly you're going to do the tawaf, and you go on, you're moving. See the speculation. This is that zamana of speculation. And unfortunately the media, the secular education, the environment, Western environment, has messed up the mind, has spoiled the heart, has spoiled the heart. Now we have to filter that heart, filter all that information before the mind comes alive. So we're talking of Kab Ahbar, and I checked up Torah and all that. So, so clear, so distinct. His description is so distinct that I must accept it. I explained about Abdul Rahman Ibn Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu. Father told him, I'll come with a delay and you must see to the mihman. His father Abu Bakr's style was, after Isha he'll sit with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because Nabi Sallam is the head of the state. He's a Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyin, he's also the head, so he needs to see all the affairs. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is his right hand man, like Harun alayhi salam to Musa alayhi salam. He has to consult like, listen here, what do we do here, what do we do there? Now, Abu Bakr comes some late part of the night to see that the mihman haven't eaten. Abdul Rahman, where are you? He knows now the father to give it to you. Abu Bakr was impassionate about Taqrid Dayf, about seeing the hospitality to the guest. He was impassionate about it. He's coming here at the late part, 2-3 hours after Isha, and he finds that they're not eating. They haven't eaten. He is really, really worked up. So Rahman knew now that the father would take off. He knew exactly the UN and hid. Ya Gundur, you stupid, come out. That's the word in Bukhari says, Ya Gundur. Stupid nonsense, come out. But you understand a lot of things in this. If you just look at it with an open mind, see, understand. See. A Sahabi to a Sahabi, he could shout him. Right? Doesn't give you the license to shout that Sahabi. Oh, Abdul Rahman is a Hundur. Who said? His father said. Who is father? Abu Bakr. He's a Siddiq, so it can't be wrong. So you see, if you put your mind together in a stupid way, how you'll reason. So the Sahabi to a Sahabi could say it. The father could say it to the son. But the son can't tell the father Hundur, can he say it? The father did some stupid thing. Can the son say that? The father could say it to the son. The son can't say that. He has to, وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الدُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Lower yourself, lower your voice, speak in a humble tone. As one time, Sahib Rahman says to one person, that I don't say you mustn't speak straight. You must speak straight. But when it's your father, be very considerate. How you address him. See, the father and the child relationship is a very, very sensitive and a delicate relationship. So watch your words, what you're going to say. It's going to affect him very badly. So it's not about not being straight, but see the choice of your words. How are you going to present yourself? What are you going to be saying? You don't want that the father's mind must turn around against you. You don't want to make him restless and uneasy. So now, how must I present it? That's why you look in this adab of ilm, etc., you know. Your knowledge and tarbiyat, etc. He says, two people you can, the simple English word is pamper, paplawa. Right? Two people, they allow you to paplawa, to pamper. One is your teacher, he's taught you now. And you can see now, something I don't agree with him, right? But you have to pamper him. It's not something that is against the Sharia. But now you need the teacher's attention. But you can see that this thing, I got a difference of opinion. You still have to see to it that you pamper him, just keep him from. The second person, teacher, and the second person, teacher or the sheikh, and the second person is the father. So the teacher or the sheikh, and the second person is the father. Why? Because you need these people right throughout your life. The relationship is too thick. The favor is overwhelming. Now sometimes it may be a disagreement how he addresses the situation. Like Abdul Rahman, and how his father is reprimanding him. The word, Ya Hundu. Come out, get out. What's wrong with you? Ajda. Your nose be cut off. So father used some serious words. But in all that, in the Mubarak words of Abu Bakr Siddiq, there's so much of lessons, so many things to learn, really. All it requires, open your mind, clear your mind. Right? You'll find so many things to learn. I saw in the top masjid, all his people, all past, gone to the Rahmat of Allah, Labak or Harika Rahmat of Allah. Right? Old man and his son, very regular in namaz, good, etc., etc., etc. So now, something had happened. The son was delayed in picking and taking the father. Maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Father wanted, immediately I finished my nafal namaz and must be there. And he got stuck up with something, he came after 2 minutes. Gadera tu kau to! Your donkey now. That son is also a grandfather. He's a great grandfather. But the father can say that. I'm watching the father, grandfather shouting him. But I was so excited when I saw father, what is Jihabba. See that? That's the value in a man. Kayat Ayyab Sahib Rahmatullah gave one story. Says now, it's a very influential, wealthy person. See, for that influential person, normally he wants a little bit of respect, recognition. That's what he wants. So the person that is sitting on the side, the influential person comes, kicks him, pushes him out. So this person is asking him, what's going on? Don't you know who I am? Who the influential person is saying? Don't you know who I am? No, I don't know who you are. I'm this person here, I'm this person, I'm this, like this. So this person that is getting kicked and knocked down, so no, you know, I thought it was an animal that was kicking me, because that's an animal's characteristic. It sees on the road, it'll trample and carry on. It's not a man's behavior. Man's behavior is he's got some decency. If you're blocking the road or something, then decently he'll move you out, ask you something and move you out. So but what makes you say that I'm an animal? I mean, can't you say I'm a human being? Don't you know what I'm of my position? I'm such an influential person, such a wealthy person, I've got this property, I've got so much of influence, etc. So this poor person is saying, see, all that what you've got, the position, the recognition, the wealth, the property, etc., is not part of you. Is not part, doesn't make you up. That's out of you, that's beside you. What is you is the values that are implanted into yourself. That's you. The goodness, the kindness, the endurance, the patience, the sincere, that's you. Otherwise, those things are not part of your makeup. But what an excellent advice. Poor, downtrodden, but I tell you, he puts this person completely off. See? He made him understand what is the person. You are what? You have implanted within yourself. That means it's going to be with you, whether you're sleeping, whether you're working, whether you're in the toilet, whether you're in the room, the values are with you. Whether you're in the qabr, whether you're alive, the values are with you. That's called the man of value. Otherwise, you're counting upon other things that are external, outside you, that doesn't belong to you. The moment your eyes close, and then it's gone. And sometimes, in your life, it departs. Within your life, it moves away. You counted on that, and on this, and this. And then within your life, in a second, everything just moves away. So what you are is the good, the values that are planted into you. That's what you are. You think about external things that are part of you, it's not you. The car is yours, this thing is yours, the property is yours. Dimag kharab ho gaya. So we're coming back to Hazrat Kaab Ahbar Rahmatullah Ali. So when I saw this, then I accepted Islam, I announced my Islam, and I accepted the faith. Now, Kaab Ahbar Rahmatullah Ali, I showed you his excellence, right? People like Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is making him a referral point. You refer, then refer to him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu would ask him, did you find me in your Torah? Yes. Comes in Bukhari Sharif. Umar is asking, did you find me in the Torah? Said, yes. And how do you find me? Qarnu, I find you as a strong fortress, as a hadir and strong. Nobody can penetrate, so strong. Then he asked about the Khalifa after him. So explain something. I don't want to explain that now. But someone asked that, did Umar know who he was alluding to? Yes, he knew exactly. He knew exactly who is the Khalifa that is being spoken about and after him. He knew. Right. Like, you are quite certain that before tomorrow is tonight, isn't it? Before tomorrow is the night. How certain you know about the night before the next day? He was so certain that this is going to happen. He was so certain. Now, look at Ka'b Ahbar Rahmatullah Ali in the latter part of his life. Now, it's become a referral point. Person like Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was also a Jewish Ahbar, amongst the Ahbar. In fact, the most learned in the Jewish community was Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, most learned. Banu Qaynuqa, that's his background, and he was the most learned. So first understand Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam Bandira. So he wanted to see now Rasulullah Pak's person, and he put some questions. Alright, what is the first food that will be fed to the jandatis, fish and whatever else, you see, the kabid, you know, the liver of the, so he said, this is the first food that's going to be given to the jandatis, right? For that, right, he wanted to know exactly, alright, how does the born child, the newborn child, how does he take the resemblance of his father or his mother? The Rabbi said, give the answer, right? Now he is dead sure that this is the Rabbi, because he asked the questions. Perhaps he saw the seal of Nubuwwat as well. So he confirmed that this is the Rabbi. After he confirmed everything is in place, so he says to Hazrat Rasulullah Pak Sallam, Al Yahud Qawmun Buhutun. They are very slandering Qawm. They don't mind hurling abuse, slandering, elevating or disgracing. They don't mind. They don't do it. They are like, that's the nature. Right. The exact description is like today's media. When they can like the person and they can elevate him. Zuma, they can take him right from the Asman. And tomorrow they can bring him right down. Right. So the behavior, the way characteristic. Look at this, look at the media. Total resemblance. No? In India, Mola, they say, Xerox copy ki tarah se. Xerox ki tarah se. The Indian description is too good. Very colorful. Our description is a little bit. So someone died, they say, wo expired ho gaya. The description is too beautiful. Alright, the choice of the word, whatever. But I like it. So got a wet dream. Usko nightfall ho gaya. Simple but a good description. Learn to look at the good of people. Not to laugh, not to make a, not to ridicule them. It's good of them. You like it, you enjoy it, say it to others. What's wrong? So, Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam knows his people. Say, Qawmun Buhutun. They are slanderous people. So, before I declare my Islam, call these people and find out my credentials. Investigate my credentials, then I will declare my Islam before them. So under some pretext, Rasulullah called some Jews, prominent Jews, known, educated, understanding, which I call them. How's Abdullah bin Salam ranked amongst you all? Amongst the best family, best person, the most intelligent, greatest scholar on the surface of the earth. And if I tell you that he accepted Islam, no, can never be. Allah will never make it happen. It can't happen. Impossible. See now, the elevated, the best, from the best lineage, the most learned, the most educated. All this recorded, right? If I tell you, accept Islam, no, it can't be. Allah save him from that. It can never be. Abdullah bin Salam, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He's the worst, worst lineage, he's the greatest jahil. See, media. See, magic, media magic. Eh? One day it can be like this, and in the next moment, the media magic. Eh? Stock market, one day can be so high, and you did something against whoever, and then you crashed. Doesn't it happen? Let me see this here, media magic. Stock exchange magic. It's come up, and it comes down. One shot, 1 second, in all. Because Mr. Mandela fell sick, therefore the whole thing crashed. This is really the excuse to crash it down. So easy, the manipulation is so easy. Anyway, now his credentials have been confirmed. So see it for himself. So he knows now that this is the type of people that you're working with. So Abdullah bin Salam, in spite of him being rated as such a great, great alim, right? Rasul from himself likes him. But he asked Ka'b Ahbar rahmatullah alayh, how do you make out that this person is an alim? How do you make out that this person is a scholar indeed? How do you make out? He says, Ya'malu ala ilmi, when he's applying his ilm, he's applying his ilm, that is a sign that he is an alim. If he's not applying his ilm, then he doesn't deserve that title. It's so easy. See, the dictionary that 99% of the students use is Hans Wahr, right? Such an expert in the Arabic language, right? But would you say he's an alim? Why? Why don't you say that? Hey, kitne bare alim aaye hue hai. Aap iska zara ehtiram karo. Do you show him respect? Why? He's not applying that ilm. If he doesn't apply that ilm, he doesn't deserve the title. Straight, clear, isn't it? He didn't apply that ilm, though he had all the information, but he didn't apply it, so he doesn't deserve the title. Right. So he says, now, when he applies that ilm, then that is the thing that elevates him. Then he asked, Abdullah bin Salam is asking, Ka'b Ahbar rahmatullah alayh, alright, then you say that this is the thing that elevates him, then how does the ilm leave? You're saying before Qiyamah, the ilm, the knowledge will be taken, Allah will lift it. How does it, what makes this ilm go away? It comes in, and what makes that ilm go away, leave? So he says, the thing that causes that ilm to go away is hirs, greed, right? So when the greed comes into you, right? So then what happens to the person? Then the person becomes commercialized. So in very discreet ways, I will present my needs before you. I need to have a decent life, you know. People are going for Umrah. I'll make dua for you, but I'll go at the Muzdalifah and make dua for you. So I have to present my needs before him. So when this thing comes, now then that ilm also goes away. Because now how it goes away, right? It goes away in this manner, that he's attached his heart to material. Right? When he's attached his heart to material, that means he's detached his heart from Deen, from Allah Ta'ala. So now how is his reasoning? His reasoning is, if I got this, phir mera kaam chalega. If I got this, then will I prosper. But if I don't have it, my work will not prosper. So will he show the importance of tahajjud namaz? Will he show the importance of taqwa? Will he show the importance of good dealings? Will he show it? Now, he is overwhelmed with material. When he's overwhelmed with material, he will show the value of material. He will not show the value of all that which is contained in the hadith, because it's not attached to his heart. After a period of time, this thing will become a secondary thing. The primary thing is how to multiply, he can go for Umrah, he can do this, he can enjoy like this. So the Murid, he comes to the Sheikh, you know. And he says, you know, I saw a beautiful dream. Beautiful part of it, and part of it is very, very frightening. So what he saw? So no, I saw you, that your hands were immersed into honey. And my hands were immersed into sewage. So the Sheikh said, yeah, you pure your dunya dare. You know, you pure all only after dunya. Me is, I'm only after deen. So my hands are all immersed deep into honey. And you pure after dunya, therefore your hands are immersed into sewage. People know that dunya is sewage. But that is just information. Has it come to the point of realization? It's information. But have you realized it? We got the information that it is sewage, right? But do we come to our senses? Do we come to our realization? Yeah. Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to his realization. So at a time that he's giving the khutbah on the Jummah, he got 14 patches. He's excused himself for a little of a delay from the Jummah. He said, I just had one pair of clothing and I washed it with my hands and I was waiting for it to dry, and that's caused the delay. You see? See, these people here, they are different. It's a different class altogether. They're sitting on the wealth, but that wealth is not in their heart. The wealth is all over, not in their heart. It's just going, coming and going. Their wealth is like a running stream, coming and just going, moving, stream. So now, the Shaykh is saying, see, you people are dunya da. You people are just after wealth, money. So therefore your hand is the suraj. And we are only after deen and figure of akhirat, therefore our hands are just into the honey. So the Murid is saying, brother, the dream doesn't end there. You know. The dream continues. How it continues? I am licking from your hand and you licking from my hand. Khabis kahiye. So that's the reality. You are just looking for commercial ends at the hand of the Sheikh. What? You are looking at commerce. No, the Sheikh is looking for commercial values from his murids. Right? What is he looking for? Commercial values from the murids. Once something like this, once this happens. So what is he looking for? Commercial values. The murid is sincere. He wants deen, he wants Allah Ta'ala, he wants Allah Ta'ala. He knows that he's messed up in wrong. But his heart is in the right. His heart is in the right, so he wants that. So therefore he's licking that honey. And the Sheikh's heart is inside deep, it's all messed up, it's drowning in wealth. When he's drowning in wealth, he's sucking the person for his wealth. This person is giving away, passing away the deen. You see? So this is what Ka'b Ahbar rahmatullah is saying. That this is the thing that causes that knowledge to move away. It goes away, that's how it causes. Now, you look at it in this day and time. If you look at just the information, then it's much more than you can comprehend. So much, tons of information. One, I don't know what they call it, kya kehte hain? We got all the information all preserved, whatever it is now, I don't know the word. So one small chip you got like this, and that you got about 2,000 kitabs. Kitabs that you have just seen the hashiya of, you just saw a reference. Now you've seen the kitabs, 2,000 kitabs, one shot. There's tons of information. I ask you, is there any shortage, any deficiency of kitabs? No, nothing. But then Nabi Sahib is saying that this knowledge will be raised. This knowledge will be raised. I gave you one explanation just now, that you are there, but your heart is attached to the wrong things, as though you are not in that ilm. Your mind is different, your thinking is different, your ways and behavior is different. I ask you, are you part of that ilm? You don't have that attachment, you don't have that love, you don't have that respect. You're not taking it that seriously. But anything to do with wealth, enjoyment, comfort, that is serious. You're counting it, calculating it, understanding it. One strange thing was going up to my heart, you know, from this November till now, at the face of Allah Ta'ala. I can't say it's anything of myself or Buzugan's barakat. So the thought that was coming to my mind that even to experience any type of happiness in this day, consider it to be wrong. Within this day here, to experience and to feel any feeling of happiness, that's also wrong. Because those whole practices are based on shirk, kufr and ma'asi, isn't it? The base is what? Shirk, kufr and sin. This is what it's based upon. And when the spirit is coming about and you're showing, or within your mind concealed, you are showing some type of happiness, that means you're waiting for that shirk, you're waiting for that kufr, you're waiting for the season of sin. So I ask you, is your mind in the right place, or is it stuck in the wrong place? Is your mind in the right place, or your mind is stuck in the wrong place? See, that it's a dangerous thing to talk about, but let me share it with you. That hadith where حَتَّى يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ قَدْرَ سِرَائِ وَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْقَدْرِ. Hadith, right? That he's working so close to Jannah. And then something happens and he takes a shift, he capsizes, the whole thing is capsized. The Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib explains this. He says in some turuq, in Muslim Sharif, the word are contained, even Bukhari is what this word, فِيمَا يَبَدُوا لِلنَّاسِ. In the sight of people, he has made so much of progress as though there was just 1 yard between him, 1 meter between him and Jannah. He's made so progress. And then the whole thing capsizes. He says, Fima Yabdu Linnas. In other words, there were some things that he was showing and some things were concealed. Some things he was expressing and some things were concealed deep within his mind. So when he was concealing these things here, now when it's come to the time of departure, that thing just surfaced at that point. See, that conceal, that kufr, that wrong that he was concealing, money, whatever it was. But he was concealing those things, and at some point that had to be surfaced. And it came right at that 11th hour. See, all that wrong. Allah Ta'ala says, just to show what this thing contains, right? Allah Ta'ala Rahman says that for the first 14 years of my life after graduating, my father insisted that I must go and teach. We didn't need the money, but my father wanted that the kitabs that you have heard, you must learn it, teach it very well, so you have a good holding. Understanding will be good, the holding will be good, and you can be a benefit to, an asset to hundreds and millions of people. Alhamdulillah, you see Hazrat Hakim ul-Mas kitabs, till now, every madrasa, every masjid, everybody got his kitabs, right? So he says, whilst we were there, I was quite young, beard is not fully grown yet, quite young at the time. So there was an old man, put to be my father's age. He was a namazi, tahajjud, bazaar, etc., etc. Just a day or so before he could pass away, now this old man is telling me in confidence that you see, when I was a young man, I was much, much younger, so I fell in love with a Jewess or a Christian woman. Indeed, the love was too deep. Too deep. I couldn't do anything. She was in a different family, I'm in a different family. We couldn't. But the love was stuck there. And I was entertaining the love. I was nurturing the love. I was entertaining the love, you know. Kaash ke main uske saath hoti hota. I could have been with her. Now, she's saying, I mean, he's about a day or 2 days before he can pass away. She says that if she's a Christian, I'm a Christian. If she's a Jewess, I'm a Jewess. And a day or 2 days after that, he's gone. But you see, all his life, what he was showing, and the sin, the indecency that he was concealing, entertaining, had a love for, that had to surface at some point. See, that 11th hour that he surfaced. But you see, the sin, ذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَا. Our greater concern is the sins that appear before people, that we want that to be blocked off, that in the eye, in the sight of people, our reputations, etc., mustn't be affected. But batina, the sins that are very discreet, are concerned about it. Who will know? Look at it. Ibn Sabram says, you looking at a girl, people will know that it's haram and he's not supposed to be doing it. So you will not get close to a girl you won't engage. But a boy with girlish features, for him to be close to you, teach him his sabak, etc., etc. But he must be close around you, right? But now, you will think to yourself that nobody will have this type of a suspicion about me. Understand? Because he's a boy. When he's a boy, then they won't have that suspicion. Now you bring the person closer, 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 listening, reading, whatever, whatever, whatever. Now, in the sight of people, has your reputation been lost for a moment? But now, who is your God now? Understand at this point, who is the God? Is the people the God that you are worshipping them? Or are you worshipping Allah Ta'ala? Who are you worshipping? These things of suspicion, these things, discreet gunas. In fact, that type of a behavior that can lead to suspicion, that can, you may not have it, but it can lead to suspicion. Just get it off. It can lead to suspicion. See the hadith. Bukhari Sharif, Bukhari Sahib Al-Abak, reward him. What of babs he bring? Or a small point with a tarjima, heading. One is a thing of shuba, you leave it out. Makhafata ayyaksura afhamu ba'din nas fayaqa'u fi ashadda minhu. He leaves out some permissible things. Makhafata ayyaksura fi afhamu ba'din nas فَيَقَعُ فِي أَشَدَّ مِنُ. So then he brings the hadith now. When Rasulullah is in i'tikaf, and Hazrat Safiya radiyallahu anha has come to visit him, she's an ajwaj mutahharat, as Rasulullah is accompanying her right to the entrance of the masjid, and there's two Ansari sahaba ikram that are speeding. When they see this, they are moving away. Rasulullah says, Allah risli, just hold on. Adi Safiya. Now you try to understand why Rasulullah had to say this, Ala risni kuma and hadi safiya. Why did you say this? So they object, they felt a little bit out of place and said, Ya Rasulullah, how can we ever have any doubts about yourself? Yes, in the shaitana liyajri mila insani majraddam. Shaitan runs in you like blood runs into you. Now if you had suspicions about your Nabi, iman is gone, khalas. So now that you know that this is Safiya, I closed the avenues of Shaitan. He can't get into you. When he can't get into you, you can't pierce any type of a suspicion in your system, right? So I've saved your iman. But look at the hadith from a different perspective. What it's teaching you by ittaqu mawadiyatuhum, areas where people can have aspersions, doubts, suspicions. By right? Just keep off, get out of it. After all, why Rasulullah is saying all these things? Look after your side. Don't seclude with a woman, right? And now, nowadays, it's such now, even a person with girlish face, don't become too close. Don't seclude. Seclude or becoming too close, don't do it. Why is the hadith teaching this thing? You're going to be doing this, right? You may have no suspicions, no thoughts. But others, why is this person behaving with this person in this manner? Why? Can't they have this type of suspicion? Or he was looking, father's looking at the phone. When actually he just switched it off quickly. Why did he do this? Can you see, he had a smartphone, he was writing something very well, very nicely. But actually he did something. So why did he do this? Can't the child have those suspicions against you? Oh, my father got a smartphone, but he doesn't require this thing. Why is he doing all this thing? I ask you, for your own iman, for the iman of those children, I ask you, isn't it the better thing to just dump this, break it, destroy it? Isn't it the better thing? Now we have become so selfish, my instant gratification, my comfort, my ease. You're thinking, why your child is the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People, did you think about them? What consideration, what respect you need to show for them? What type of a precedent and a legacy you need to leave for them? Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at his story, right? Innani bara'um mimma ta'bun. Right. So he saw his people all 100% of his community is soaked in shirk. Right. So he kept himself clean from the shirk. But he also announced amongst them, see, I got nothing, I indemnify myself from your practices. See that? You see that lesson? But the lesson is that he wasn't confining himself to his personal taqwa. But he made it a point. He made it a point in his people, in his children, etc. إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ I indemnify myself from this practice completely. So it shows you that when you are with this type of a class, this type of a people, then you will refrain, but you will also announce your indemnity, that I have nothing to do with this behavior. You just keep it, I'm not doing this. And you didn't indemnify yourself. Your duty is not complete. إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ Then he doesn't just leave it. See the three levels. One is he keeps himself away. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي That's it. He keeps himself, right? Then he makes an announcement that got nothing to do with this, right? That's the second level. And the third level is وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ He allows this to be a legacy to continue with his children. So he embraced those values. He announced those values, and then he made it a legacy to continue with his descendants after him. See that now the job is complete. If he had just left it to himself, no, my personal taqwa, my righteousness, my virtue, the job is not complete. He made an announcement so people know, alright, this person got nothing to do with this thing here. He made an announcement about it. So that's clear for the mind, there's no doubt, there's no reservation. He had to announce it. So the whole 100% of the community is away. Now, the announcement that is made over the radio, etc. What's the announcement? Announcement is going like this. Whether you celebrate Christmas or not, whether you go for a holiday or not, right? Respect people's differences of opinions. Respect differences of opinions, right? And learn to coexist. That means when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Atazilukum," I break away from you, and he did wrong. Why? Because he didn't learn how to coexist. That also means that Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't know what's the meaning of Abrahamic accord, the accord that we're signing under his name. He didn't know. Today you came to teach Ibrahim alayhi salam what is the meaning of Abrahamic accord, because he is saying, "I break away, Atazilukum," I break away from you. And all your practices, وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ I break away from you and from your practices. But he didn't know. Today, in the 15th century, 5,000, 6,000 years after Ibrahim Islam, today you understood it. So you telling Ibrahim Islam, you didn't understand it, I understood it. The Quran said, you are wrong. Rasulullah said, you are wrong. Ibrahim Islam, you are wrong. I understood it today. Learn to coexist. Where it's coming from? Radio. Muslim radio. So that's why I said at the beginning, see, by that, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكْ Five people living in the same house, but can be five different wavelengths. You're not sharing the same thought. You're not under the same page. You're not on the same line. So you have to look for your own preservation, for your own continuity, for your own iman, by who's on the page. Not only the page, on the same line. He's not only on the same page, but he's on the same line. Look for your own safety. Look for your protection. Allah Ta'ala, save me, save us all.